Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Trewell. My special guest tonight is Star Vance. Star, as you may well have known, because she is a repeater and friend of the show, was a presenter at the 2023 Strange Realities Conference and is a spiritual hypnotist. Welcome back, Star.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back. This is awesome. Hello, everyone. Hope you're doing good.
This is one of our favorite guests, so yes, please join me in welcoming her. And this is kind of going to be a year in review and a year looking forward show. That's kind of what we're going to talk about. Who was on The Weird Part over last year? 2023 was a good year for the show, and looking forward to a lot of things in 2024. Let's see. I just made a list of who all was a guest. Started out, and some of these, hey, I don't want to slight anyone. Didn't have anybody that I regret having on. Had some excellent guests over the course of the last year. I can't give everybody the full billing they deserve because we don't have 6 hours, but, you know, I just kind of wanted to touch on, you know, some guests, some memorable things that happened, and just things that were going on in the world at that time. To an extent, it's not going to be exhaustive, but I think you'll find it interesting. So we started out January 4th, which seems like about a decade ago, with Sarah Normal from the Florida Paranormal Investigators. And that was episode 35. So we've put in a few since then. And Florida Paranormal Investigators kind of speaks for itself. She also has her partner, Jen, who they go and assist people. Usually it's people that are having difficulties with entities in their home. It could be poltergeist activity. It could be beings purporting to be the ghosts of the dead. It could be a lot of things. And they work to resolve that situation. I've been meaning to have them back on because it's very interesting. And a lot of the cases they had seemed genuinely weird. And it was interesting material. Back on the 11th, I had Stephanie Quick. It's tough to describe all the things that Stephanie is into. She's very eclectic, fascinating guest. Always glad to have her on. And we did a kind of a smorgasbord of things that were going on in the paranormal world at that time. In episode 37, head on Octavian Graves. He is an interesting guy. He is very much into ritual magic and applying ritual magic to investigating the paranormal. And I'm straight up, I'm not going to be doing that. I love to hear him talk about it, but he was very interesting. I am not cut out for that. I was, you know, he interacts with entities. It was very educational. I learned quite a bit. I hadn't pre-planned this maybe the best, but feel free to interject at any point on any topic here, Star.
Okay. I was.
And Star just froze for a second here. I don't mean she froze, but her image froze on Zoom. So there's, you know, we'll take our time. I'm sure that should come back up here pretty quick. But yes, so Octavian does stuff where he attempts to summon entities, which is, as he describes it, a lot more difficult than it sounds. And has gotten some interesting experiences. Can you hear me, Star? And we're just going to pause for a half second here.
Actually, I had a question about Sarah Normal. I think that's so interesting. I love anything with ghosts and poltergeists. Did she share any of her stories with you? Like, what was one of her most, I guess, shocking experience that she's had?
Ooh. And now, having been over a year, I just know they're
Oh,
good. I
okay.
should, I probably should have done a little more prep and at least briefly listened to each of these, but we put out about 40 some episodes this past
Whew.
year. And I just know she did encounter entities. She did encounter some hostility.
Oh.
They did do things like smudging, and they did call in other people. I don't know if I want to use the term exorcists, but she isn't like a per se exorcist. But I believe they did bring in people like that to encourage some problem-causing entities to leave the house.
I see.
Some people get in these situations where their house is truly haunted. And I don't know if I've told you my haunted house story.
No.
But yeah, there was a period, not in the last decade, I've lived in three homes. The oldest one, the one that's furthest back, we moved out in 2012. But there was a period of years where that house was definitely haunted, because none of that came to the other two houses. And both my wife and I experienced, we were working different shifts, so very often we were sleeping alone, like not in a bad way, but just like we were at work at different times.
I see.
And both of us, like hundreds of times, experienced, you can tell when somebody gets into bed with you. You can feel the mattress move. And that happened. And it happened
Whoa.
repeatedly. And sometimes so like clearly that I actually turned on the light just to be sure that there was nobody actually in the room, you know? And that happened a lot. And
Whoa.
I never saw anything. No apparitions, which I probably would have freaked out. But I
Same.
never heard any voices or anything. But the tactile feeling of somebody climbing into the bed was, that was a lot.
Yeah.
And she also experienced it.
So
Sometimes we even
interesting.
experience it simultaneously, you know.
Oh.
And the feeling of being watched, of being not being alone, even, you know, where I'm looking around and like the curtains are down, the shades are down, the door is closed. There is no one in this room. But I just felt being stared at so intensely. It was really weird. And that lasted, you know, the entire time we lived there, really. And, you know, at that same time, my daughter had some experiences where she's talked at a very early age. And she would be over at the heating and cooling vents and just whispering into them. And then she'd put little gifts
Oh.
in the vents and ask her, just calm, cool, as much as I can. So, who are you talking to? Oh, I talked to the dolphins in the vents.
The
The dolphins apparently lived in our heating and cooling system.
Oh.
And I'm like, imaginary friends, I kind of hope so.
I mean, but what if there were dolphins,
I'm pretty sure there are not dolphins in the vent system in my house in Milwaukee.
though?
But it was an interesting thing. And
I don't
then
know,
there
man. Like kids, they have this They have the sense. I'm sure you know about it.
Oh,
They
yes.
just they can just pick up on things that we can pick up on. We just haven't trained that muscle. And they're so not conditioned. So there could very well be dolphins in the vents. Maybe they're
Where
not
is?
like a portal to where they are or something.
I see what you, yeah, I had not thought of that. But yes, dolphins are probably the most psychic creature on this planet
Why do you say that?
because they have a brain that's proportionate. They're the only animal to have a brain purport for pound for pound larger than ours. And they can't. I'm speculating here. Obviously, I'm not notion. I don't know, but it makes sense to me that because they can't do tech, they can't make things out of metal or whatever, that all of their progress would be psychic, that they might be able to do all sorts of things. We know that they talk to each other, that they use names, which is very rare
We
in.
know that they use names, like they name their
They call
young.
each other by names, yes.
Whoa.
I read of it pretty recently, but yeah,
That's
that
fascinating.
yes, it is. And they, if there was going to be an animal that, and I call them animals rather casually, but the different testing have said they may be as intelligent as we are, if there's an animal that can travel outside of its body, I would pick up on it being the dolphin, and communicate with other beings, that makes a lot of sense to me. So yeah, I don't know who she was talking to, but at least it was portraying itself as a dolphin, so yeah, that house was weird.
It sounds like nothing nefarious, though. Sounds like someone just also living there.
It was nobody ever exactly in the sense that nobody ever was harmed. There was nothing. If I always had I made the statement, if it wanted to kill us, it could kill us. You know what I mean? It could do something, dangerous that would put us in harm, and that none of that ever happened. So yeah, it was now. There was a sexual component to it, which, as soon as I say that, I want to make everybody understand it's not going to be what you think it is.
Oh,
Okay.
darn.
This is
Okay.
not going to be anything like that.
Just
He
for the
was actually,
audience, when he said that, I made the most sinister face.
it's like everybody lower your expectations. It wasn't cool, but, it was invasive. It was like the feeling of like having unwanted sexual dreams, some of which were bizarre. And it wasn't, neither of us wanted to experience that, but we
It
both did
happened.
on multiple occasions. And it was just very strange, which reminds me of a phenomena that I have read about called hungry ghosts. And it's a Buddhist belief that some people, when they die, don't want to pass on. They don't want to reincarnate in any way. They like being on Earth and they like doing earthly things. And so they'll hang around and try to get people to interact with them. And ultimately, they would like to be able to get somebody to let them possess them, so that they could go and eat and drink and have sex and do whatever they used to do in the world. And that's a thing, and it can be a dangerous thing from everything that I've read.
I
So
see.
I don't know, was that was happening? I don't know. Something was climbing into bed with us. That was definitely happening. And I don't know. There's a lot of explanations. It could be people that lived there for a long time. And they're just like kind of their energy is just sort of going over and over like a loop. You know what I mean? Like just going to bed, didn't realize I was dead 20 years ago.
Yeah, and that's a real thing, I really believe. Because at that point, it's like I don't know if the soul is still there. Like it's just energy. It's just a cycle that's kind of just going. It's kind of sad, but I know what you mean here.
That's a thing that as far as the explanations for what was actually happening, I have no idea. Yes. So let me see here. And I probably won't even get to everybody. But just kind of a loose framework, you know. Gotta have something to kind of get the ball rolling. But there's no, you know, we're not on any tight schedule. And talk about what we can talk about and go from there. You know, I'd like to keep this just kind of naturally free flowing, you know what I mean?
Easy breezy.
Yes, exactly. So let me see. Oh, here's somebody I can't not miss. Maybe I said that wrong. Maybe I can't miss. I can't miss. Yes.
There
Charles from What's Up with Mars. What's Up with Mars is a fascinating Instagram account, and he takes these pictures from the rover. Official NASA photos and just puts them up and circles various things that really do not look like they were made by wind and water erosion, which is NASA says everything's made by wind and water. That's it. That's it. No living beings, certainly nothing that makes anything. No statues, no fossils, no doors carved into the wall.
Were there statues?
There are things that look very much like statues to me.
Jinkies.
Oh yeah. There was, I mean, and it wasn't a statue of a human. I don't know what it was. And there's also what clearly to me seem like fossils. I don't know, it's not outside mainstream science that there used to be life on Mars. You know, this is millions of years ago, but some of this stuff that they explain away, I just no, that's not just the wind blew along and eroded this into looking like something else. You know, some of these are just impossible. And he puts these out quite regularly, and they're stunning. You look through a few, you know, postings on What's Up with Mars, and you're like, I don't know the answer. And I don't know if that's just ancient and everything is dead now, or if they've gone underground, or what. But I know something was there. Something made this. This didn't just happen. And, you know, I've kind of made the
The
statement. Go ahead.
last I heard about Mars, and I really don't know much about it, was they found water, and someone was saying every ounce of water on Earth has like a living organ in it, and so saying the same must be true for Mars. And I didn't hear anything else after that, but I was wondering if maybe you knew, or maybe he knew.
I recall hearing about that it was 100% they had ice, but I do recall hearing that they had liquid water and that, well, that they 1000% had it in the past. And the argument was whether they still had it. And I'm not 100% whether they have liquid water now, but they certainly did. And yes, where there's water, there's life. And that's something I've always kind of noticed. That there's no place, life isn't that delicate. Quite the opposite. There is no place on Earth that doesn't have life. The frozen ice of the Antarctic has creatures living in it. Those boiling jets at the bottom of the ocean have things living in them. As far as they've dug down, and they've dug like miles down, doing mining and other things, they always find at least, you know, bacteria and like fungus and little things like that. There's no place that on Earth that doesn't have life. Now, if Mars has water, I would strongly believe that it has life. That is my belief. I can't prove it, but I'd I just wish they'd be a little bit more open-minded about
Yeah, I mean, I
this
don't
looks like a
understand.
skull. Maybe it's a skull.
Yeah,
This looks like
I
a
don't understand.
staircase. The wind doesn't make staircases.
It certainly doesn't. I wonder why they would want to keep that kind of information on the down low, though. You know what I mean?
I think it's all public relations. I think there are, unfortunately, people who would want to shut down NASA if they found life or evidence of past life. I don't think that's very smart. I don't even think that's necessarily what would happen. But I think that is the calculus that we need to be really cautious, And they can only say it once. Once they've said it, they can't take it back. Say, no,
True.
we're wrong, But some of the things that are up there are incredible. And they have the thing I was going to say is if they found Mount Rushmore up there, NASA would say it was wind and water erosion, right? It just happens to look like some presidents,
That's a special tornado made that.
It's like, come on, man. At some point, you can clearly see this is like chiseled,
That's pretty funny.
It's like they won't admit it no matter what. But I think that's going to change in the future. I really do. I think the, public sentiment is not afraid of the Martians anymore.
Okay.
I think it's going to be okay.
Well, I don't
Feel free.
know. I mean, I would love to. I welcome aliens. I'm an alien lover. I admit it, but I feel like that's, I don't know. Perhaps you know more about that, but I feel like the public would freak out. I mean,
I think
the public freaks out over the
about a
smallest
third of the
things.
public would freak out hard. A third would be hopeful and welcoming. A third would be like, is the game on yet? And a third would go completely off the deep end
Ballistic.
because they're demons. Everything's a demon. And no, I don't know. And it's, the UFO disclosure thing was kind of the story of 2023, even though it was a story that never really got very far as conclusions. Had a lot of allegations, but we didn't get much in the way of conclusions. And, well, when I say much, we didn't really get anything. We had some more meetings, and some more Air Force guys showed up, and
And that's it.
that's it. That's it. And we said, well, I read these documents. Okay. What are we getting here? So, yeah. Nathan Isaacs did a really good recent episode about Area 51 on Limmel Lodge, and he really kind of took it apart why it's almost a certainty that there are not alien bodies or ships at Area 51. Even if they're somewhere else, they're not there. Area 51 is pretty much exclusively for the United States advanced aircraft. But I think that they've, and I'm going to work this into my own presentation and thing in the future, but there's a lot of, like, what's the word I want to use? Special effects and, kind of stage magic and presentation that I think a lot of the UFO phenomena, which I'm not denying aliens for a second, of different sorts, but a lot of the UFO phenomena, I think, is directly to cover advanced projects that the military has. And that if they make it look goofy and, it's got to be aliens, people won't look too hard at what we're able to build ourselves. There's
I
some
see.
incredible stuff. They had a plane that could go, like, I want to say 4,500 miles an hour, and back in the 70s, just
Whoa.
incredible things that I am told the CIA had drones in the 70s. That so when strange ball of light shows up outside the Iranian nuclear facility, it's probably not Martians. It's probably us doing it. But that gets, I digress. It is, to me, worth noting that very few UFO encounters where people really interact with beings that come down out of a ship, very few of those couldn't be faked. Now, with the special effects Hollywood stuff that we have today, that doesn't mean they all are, but it's like they almost all could be. The thing that's a lot harder to fake is when you encounter them, like during meditation, something like that. That's not going to be the Navy, okay? That's going to be, that might be very much how aliens come here. Or one way they come here. I think the UFO umbrella covers a lot, a whole lot.
I agree. I feel like the way you described is going to be how most, extraterrestrials will contact. Because I feel like their way of thinking and their technology, it's got to be different from ours. I mean, it's different from ours, period. But one thing that all life forms have is, what's the word? The self, like the soul
The
within.
soul, yes, the spirit. I don't want to get splitting hairs on what's a soul, what's a spirit,
The
what's an energetic self. What's
energetic self, yes. The energetic self. That's what I was looking for. I feel like, angels, they're just aliens, and the spirit guides, aliens, they're all real and they're all, here in this universe. And it's a matter of how the individual is open to connecting with them. Because I
That
feel
makes a
like they're
lot
more
of
advanced.
sense. A
Thank
lot of
you.
sense. If I'm not putting you on the spot, what do you think about orbs?
Orbs, like just orbs
Yes.
floating around.
Yes.
And I don't think much of them, honestly. I'll see some sometimes when I look in a certain way. It's easy to say that's just like the pressure in my eyeball moving around. I really don't think much of them. If they are something, I think it's probably maybe a small spirit's passing by. Not really trying to get into my business, not really trying to get in anyone's business, just going along its own business.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
What do you think of orbs?
I'm glad you asked. I actually believe, okay, when I say believe, my working theory is that that's the primary way that extraterrestrials come here, that they are astrally traveling because there are so many light years away that they may not be able to build a ship that actually flies here in any kind of reasonable time. But if you're not in the physical, you're not governed by the laws of physics. So you just be here from another planet. And that there's the phenomenon of orbs that show up in photos and stuff, which is often just dust. But when people see like something between the size of a golf ball up to a beach ball moving around, I tend to think that that is a spirit. And that's what it looks like when we can see them. Now that's my speculation. I don't know that, but that makes a lot of sense to me.
This makes a lot of sense to me as well. I think you're pretty right about that.
I mean that avoids so many of the question the well, how do they get here if they live a million miles away? How can they go faster than the speed of light? Well, if you don't have a body, You're not governed by the speed of light.
Right.
You don't need, breathing apparatus and a big Millennium Falcon looking ship that flies for, 100,000 years to get here.
Yeah.
We don't need any of that.
Not to mention the, I guess, language barrier is the only thing that comes up in my mind. Like, there, if I see so many, like, I guess depictions of aliens, and they're very humanoid. And perhaps it's true, but I mean, they're aliens. They're probably not gonna look like humans. So there's gonna be some kind of barrier to with communication, except in that form. You know, when you're open and you're your own spirit orb, your own spirit being, you can just, connect. You can just connect.
That makes a lot of sense, because yes, think how difficult as physical, in the body, physical humans have difficulty talking to each other. I can't interact with somebody from Russia. They don't speak Russian. You know what
Right.
I mean? It would be, let alone now somebody from Russia from 100 years ago. I can't possibly interact with that person, even though, physically, biologically, we're almost exactly the same. So now some creature from another planet that, evolved from an octopus or,
Ooh, fun.
evolved in a totally different environment, that communication would be impossible.
Yeah.
But if they have a spirit, and I'm using that term really loosely, but they have an inner self that can come out and move around, then we can meet each other.
Right.
And again, a purely conjecture here, purely speculation on my part, but I think that at least a lot of them can present in, can stop being an orb and present in a form that we find not as threatening. Not as an orb, but not as what they really look like either. Like if they're some kind of fish man, they
Ooh.
might want to appear as a human.
I see.
I'm thinking of the like 1950s and 60s contactees and how they'd meet these aliens who always said they were from some place in our solar system. Usually, sometimes a little ways out, but they're from another planet, but they look just exactly like human beings that we see walking around. And that's impossible. You know
Was
what I
that
mean?
the one with Will Smith? Maybe not.
Men in Black?
No, not Men in Black. I'm terrible with actors. It might not have been Will Smith. I think it was though, like this movie where the aliens were just humans. They just were. And they're like, "Yeah, I know I'm an alien, but I look just like you." I think it
Yeah, that
was
rings a bell, though I can't tell you what movie it is.
It's okay.
but yeah, that they assume a form that we can handle and
Okay.
that we won't be distracted by the fact that they're, have tentacles and are half plant or whatever their deal is. And the orb thing I see as being easier, but I think at least some of them can materialize at least temporarily in whatever form they wish. Now that's just, it's guesswork. I don't have any data to back that up, but
Guesswork is the best work in my opinion.
I
I mean, I feel like no, I that has to be, because if you can I reference what you experienced over the strange realities?
Oh, absolutely.
If
Yeah.
you can imagine your spirit guide coming in as a bat-winged seahorse, and then there's no reason why you couldn't imagine yourself as, I don't know, a unicorn with frog legs.
Absolutely.
And maybe
How'd
that
she know?
I can just tell you have that sort of
Joking.
aura. I mean,
Go ahead.
imagination is going to take such a big part in all of this, and like all of astral travel and anything having to do with mind. Imagination is going to be king. So if I think, yeah, absolutely, easily.
Yes. And if you don't mind my discussing the regression you did on me.
Not at all.
Okay. Because we did not broadcast this, folks. But Star did do a hypnotic regression on me to a past life. Now, the interesting thing, I mean, one of the interesting things, of which there were many, it was fascinating, was that all the images were stuff I already had in my head. But the way they were displayed, it was like, well, you can't remember this because it's a past life. But you can remember this, like this pair of boots that was an old pair of boots my father had. They were of a style that's not really around anymore. And I saw those. And then I see a headline from the beginning of World War II. And I see different things that those are all images from within my own mind, but they were not random at all. And yeah, that's the thing. You can only, it's imaginal, but it's not imaginary. There really
Beautifully
is.
said.
Thank you.
Beautifully said.
Oh, I stole that from somebody.
Oh.
I think it was Joshua Cutchins, but there's a difference. You know, it's not just a made up fantasy story. There's something there, but it just has to be translated through images that you already have, is the way I took it.
think
He's nodding. That's
translation. Oh
what.
yes. Translating is a really, really great way to say that. Because it really is, taking what's there and also and then going further, going deeper into your subconscious mind and then deeper than that.
Yes. And it was ab absolutely fascinating experience. And, you know, and we clarified before we even started that this is not a memory retrieval device. This is not a way to rewind, you know, and like go back to your some other part of your life, like on a streaming service. Episode four, season three, episode four. You can't, it doesn't work like that. But that doesn't mean it's not real. There's different levels of reality there. And I believe it did have value. And it did. Well, I know it did, you know. And you're getting things that are important, whether or not they're, the goal isn't for to read the license numbers off the car. It's not, it doesn't work like that. And that would be in this life, let alone in a previous life, you know. But yeah, it was a really, really interesting experience and one that I found very positive, you know.
Thank you for saying so. Thank
Oh
you.
no, that's a good thing. It really was. Let me see. So we're gonna try to get off the first page of guests
We'll try. How
that
many
last
pages do you have?
year. Oh, nine.
Oh
So yeah, and I have to apologize in advance to everyone who was kind enough to appear on the show during 2023. Like I said, there's not one person I regret having on. Many people did a really above and beyond job. And I probably won't get to everybody. We're just kind of using that as a framework for the show, you know, so that we can talk in some kind of coherent manner. But yes, I had a lot of really great guests. Had Ashley Hilt on a couple times. She is a paranormal investigator and has been working on an independent film on Mothman. And that should be coming out. I'm thinking that's coming out pretty soon. And her work is really interesting. She's a And she's a person I respectfully disagreed with sometimes, but we don't, again, I don't agree with anybody on every single thing. I don't even agree with myself from like a few years ago, you know? So we don't have to agree on everything to be friends, you know? That's
Oh yeah,
not
we're
necessary, you know?
more mature than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're already in this kind of niche community talking about this kind of stuff. You know, the last thing I won't argue with anybody about anything in here. But well, as I think I've learned something over years, and don't argue with people online. I just
Oh
don't.
no, it's a
No,
waste of time.
I used to do that, and then one day I was really stressed out, and I was really going to tell this person where to go and what why.
Oh
You
snap.
know, what are you doing? What do you? And I asked my, well, you're mad. You're really mad over what somebody said on the internet. Like, who cares? People say crazy things on the internet. You can't even keep track of them all, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't argue at all. But it's nice when you can find people that, whether you agree or disagree, even if you disagree 100%, well, still be friends. You can still talk, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and sometimes you learn something. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I appreciate saying, oh, yeah, I hadn't understood that, but now I do. You know? Ashley is a flesh and blood Bigfoot person.
Nice.
And that's, you
Wait,
know.
hold on. When you mean flesh and blood, you don't mean she believes she's like part or,
Oh, no, I don't mean it like that.
Okay.
Wow, that'd be wild. No, she believes, she goes out and looks for Bigfoot
Okay.
and is looking for a very physical creature. And I, in a friendly way, disagree. I think they're physical while they're here, but I don't think they're here all the time. That during that moment when somebody's seeing it, I believe they are seeing a physical, big, gorilla-looking creature, but I don't think that creature lives here all the time. That it
Okay.
has like a that has a cave or something that it lives in, and that it, you know, eats the local animals and berries and stuff. Just because I think we would have caught that by now. I just, and this is just my two cents. This isn't representative of anybody else, but it's a kind of a paradox that you could have a physical, complete, just an undiscovered animal. An undiscovered primate. The problem is the fact that we don't have one living or dead tells me that if that was real, it'd have to live in the middle of absolutely nowhere and nobody'd ever see it. There is a thing like that that may be real. I think it was Josh Gates. I don't know if you've ever watched his show on cable. It's
I
he's,
haven't.
oh man, he's pretty good. I think it's on the, well, actually, I really like him. And now I'm blanking on the name of his show, but Josh Gates, just like it sounds, he's on either Travel Channel or Discovery Channel. And he goes looking for unsolved mysteries. And if I'm remembering correctly, he went looking for this thing called the Orang Pendek, which is translates to the man of the forest. And it's this thing that is only said to live in the rainforests of rural Indonesia.
Okay.
Okay. So they hire, they fly all the way to there. They hire a native tracker, a guide. The guide can't take them to see the Orang Pendek. He can only take them because he's never seen one. He can only take them to see a guy who says he saw one years ago.
Oh.
They're that rare. Okay.
I see.
Now, something like that could live, it could exist. It wouldn't be that weird that, you know, there'd be an upright walking primate, then that could happen. It
Yeah.
wouldn't violate the laws of science or something. But no, but there wouldn't be any encounters because it'd be out in the middle of absolute nowhere. And if Bigfoot was like that, it would live in the deepest forest of like some national forest in the Pacific Northwest. And it could be real, but nobody'd ever see it. You can't have it seen as common as it's seen, and yet we never have a dead one. Or I have one. Bears are rare, at least where I live. But yet, once in a while, a bear will wander in out of its habitat. And we know bears, we have live ones at the zoo, and we have, bearskin rugs. We know that they're rare. I don't know what Sasquatch is, but it's not, to me, it's just not as simple as we just haven't found this particular animal.
That makes sense.
You
That
know,
makes
that,
sense.
yeah, I.
So if he's not here in a cave somewhere eating berries, where would he go?
I think it has something to do with portals. And that, and this is, again, I'm just speculating, conjecturing, but I think sometimes they're having a weird experience too. That they'll be walking around, minding their own business, doing Bigfoot stuff, and suddenly they're in our world. And they're like freaked out. This is not the world I came from.
I wasn't on board at first when you said portals, but I mean, you've heard of fairy portals, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
You end up in
it's,
fairyland. Yeah.
yeah, and
Good luck
certainly
getting
not,
back.
yeah, certainly not impossible. Like if they have their own world of Bigfoots, but now there's also fairy portals there that lead to Earth and just happen to wander through.
There's a really excellent book. Well, it's a two-volume set called Where the Footprints End by Josh Cutchin and Timothy Renner. And they go into all kinds of folklore about Sasquatch. And they point out that other than the fact that we think of fairies as tiny and like flying around, which I believe they can appear that way, but I don't think they have to. That in a lot of ways, Bigfoot is just like this huge, hairy fairy. And that he goes to and from that other land and has a lot of things in common, a lot of taking items, a lot of interaction with people, a lot of doing things that the fae folk are said to do. And they made a really interesting case there,
Wow.
Put some connections together that I didn't put together until reading their stuff.
Oh.
Let me see. So just moving along my really slow and congested timeline, but in a good way. Let's see. Interviewed a couple of people, and I don't mean to throw them all together because each was very individual, but Lois Reitz and Mary from Firefly Rique, two women from the local area that I met through going to the spiritualist church. And because they actually have a spiritualist church in a suburb adjoining Milwaukee. And they are both Reiki masters, and there's some very interesting experiences that they had. And the two are not affiliated with each other, but I interviewed them back to back, so it almost seemed like they were. And though their experiences were very different, and just some interesting people talking about some interesting things.
Have you ever had Reiki?
No, I have not.
No.
I would be willing to do so, but is not something I have done yet.
Okay.
Do you have you?
I have, I think, 3 times. And it was, how do I describe Reiki? I would say it's, well, I love Reiki. I do. But I would say it's better when the person who's doing Reiki on you, if you're closer, right? If you're like not friends, but like if you vibe well with them. So what I don't know much about Reiki, but what I do know is that it's not the energy of the person, it's the energy of the universe channeled through that person onto you, whatever healing that you need. And they pass their hands over your body, and if it's you're comfortable, and if they're comfortable, they will touch your body. Then normally it's just holding your hands over them, and the Reiki will just go where it needs to go, where the damage is done, seen or unseen. And I found that when I was having Reiki done on me, I didn't feel much. Except, the feeling of someone moving their hand over me. I felt a little tingling in my feet, but I mean, that can happen when I'm walking too. And but afterwards, it was really when I could feel a change, like the days coming. I was more in tune with my emotions. I was more accepting of my emotions, I would say. I mean, I think, and the person who did Reiki on me all three times was the same person. I personally believe, and this is just what I think, if energy is going through you, it's going to be changed in some way, just because you are you. Like, you're a vessel and the energy is going through you. Like, I believe it's the energy from the universe. But just like if you blow air through your mouth and blow air through a flute, it's going to sound very different. And I have a complete respect for the person who did Reiki on me, but I just wonder if it would have been different if we vibed better. Because I've heard some people who have Reiki, they feel tingles, they feel heat, they start crying, their stomach starts gurgling, they feel all kinds of things. They feel, I don't know if you've ever done breath work, but like sometimes you can get a really psychedelic experience just from your breath. And there's been reports that it's a lot like that, but you're breathing normally and you're lying there.
Oh.
That annoyed me. That I would have loved that, but it wasn't me. But I did feel like a therapeutic benefit the days afterwards. And I wonder
Interesting.
if I kept it up, if I kept going like week after week, if it would have been different. But
Yeah.
yeah.
If you don't mind my asking, have you ever had acupuncture or acupressure?
I haven't.
Okay, because I just wanted to compare and contrast, because they seem to work on a similar principle. I know Reiki is Japanese tradition, and acupuncture is Chinese tradition, but I believe that the kind of the setup, the energy moving through the body, is very similar, and
Yeah.
I just wondered how they would be different.
That would make sense if
Yeah,
they.
I've never had either one, but I'm open to both, that is now.
Oh, it's time to
Yeah.
try some things in the new year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me see here. So we're just going to kind of throw overboard the possibly getting through all the guests that I had this
No,
last year. And, just use it as a starting point, because I'm only up to the end of February here.
have we made it
And
past the first page?
we're on the second page.
Yes, okay, that was the goal. We made it past the first page. I'm proud.
Yes. On February 22nd, I had Stephanie Quick back on, and this was a focused kind of historical episode on something I'd never heard before, but as soon as I heard about it, I was fascinated. The E. Clampus Vitus Fraternal Order. And it's this thing
I've
that's
never heard of that either.
Yes, it's obscure in the Midwest and the East Coast, and it's big out west, especially California. And it's vaguely sort of like the Freemasons, but that's like really not fair to either group. And they supposedly have a lot of famous members, and they've supposedly been very influential in like California, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, politics and pop culture and things like that. And they're not easy to find out about because they are a secret society, but they're also not like really, really secret. And that was very interesting. There was just, there's a lot there. Like, what are these guys really? Are you, because they claim to just be a group of people that like to hang out and, mostly at the bar, but that seems like,
A cover up.
yes, it seems like we want you to think we're this harmless bunch of guys, but really, there's some pretty powerful people there that get to know each other through this outfit.
Can you say the name of the group again?
Yes. E. Clampus, which is like Clampus. Vitus, Vitus, Fraternal Order. And it sounds like Latin, but it doesn't really translate into anything. And so that's, yeah. Very, very interesting just from a historical perspective, like what all they've been up to.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what their secrets are.
I do too. Let's see. At the very end of February, had some a very interesting couple. Let me get their history straight, because it's quite something. Lala Bright and Bob McGuire, and they are a couple. Bob is easier to give his resume because he's a retired government scientist. Lala is an experiencer and a self-described starseed, and that they make quite a combination.
I believe it.
Yes, and they've taken a lot of photos that are, and I am no expert at all, but they do seem anomalous, and a lot of stories there and a lot of experiences there that were absolutely fascinating. And just, that's the first star seed I ever talked to, so and she was quite detailed about that.
Interesting.
And that her companion is a scientist, and they managed to,
Make it
yes, exactly. But they managed to complement each other rather than be conflicted, And that was a really interesting interview. I'd have them back on at some point.
I've been told by several people that I'm a star seed.
I wasn't going to pry, but I did really want to ask. Go ahead.
I mean that's pretty much it. I have a really good friend who I personally think on the podcast. I'll just leave that out there. She is a superstar seed. She tells me about like somehow she found it in her chart, what planets were where, and how she's like this percent this and that percent that, and like this smaller percent this, and so on. And I mean, it's she's such an interesting person, and she has a lot to share. And I it just I it made me interested in like in my own, and I could find out about my starseed chart, I think it's called. I think maybe we talked about this on our first podcast a little bit. But I feel like a Pleiadian. But I don't know for sure.
I think we talked about this at our first meeting one-on-one in
Oh, okay.
Nashville. I don't think that
Damn it.
we've ever discussed it. in a recorded setting. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Maybe we didn't.
Which is fine.
Okay.
If you want me to edit it out, I will. But
No?
no, I think it's absolutely fascinating. As much as you feel comfortable, how did you come to feel that way? And like, what's that like?
It's not, I mean, it's, I came to this a realization when I was a teenager. And I never really fit in. I had friends, but they were not very, they weren't like me. You know, I wasn't like them. And I was always in, I was so deeply into astrology at the time, and I think I was like on an astrology site, and there was like a continuation from the same blogger, like, oh, what's your star seed? And I was like, oh, what's that? And I kind of felt, I kind of to almost fell into a rabbit hole because I thought it was interesting, but I was still more interested in astrology. Am I saying this? I should know if it's astrology or astronomy. I still mix them up. But yeah, I took a test, and I read about the different ones you could be, and I felt most connected to like the Pleiadians, which they're supposed to bring joy and like lift people up, and they're here on Earth to make it happier because it can be a pretty sad place. And I've always, even before, like I feel like my life mission is to be happy and share that happiness. 'Cause things are just so good when I'm happy. And it feels right. It feels like I'm doing something right when I'm happy, on top of being happy, on top of being happy.
Yeah, that sounds like a really great mission statement, you know?
Thank you. I feel like everyone deserves to be happy. It's just such a nice feeling. But different star seeds have different missions. Like they have different goals, and pretty much none of them conflict with each other, that I know of. I'm still not super. I still don't know that much about it. But yeah, my friend, she knows so much. She's so knowledgeable. Like she should start her own podcast because she just has so much to share.
Yeah. Without in any way sounding like I'm not taking it seriously, does this involve a Galactic Federation?
No, it does not
Okay.
involve the Galactic Federation. If we're thinking about the same thing, it does not involve that group. I really don't know much about it. What I do know is that some people have their own Galactic Federation, and there's like a group that's a little insidious that come across as kind, good aliens, but really don't have the best intentions. That's
Very
all I know.
interesting.
All I know. That's the extent of my knowledge there.
No, that is really interesting. Wow.
What are you thinking over there?
What I'm thinking of, do you have any memories of previously, and I don't want to put you on the spot. If you don't want to discuss them, that's perfectly fine. But do you have any memories of having previously lived as something other than, well, as a Pleiadian?
I feel very strongly that this is either my first or second time being on Earth. But I feel like I have had many lives. I feel like the memory, I do remember, I feel strongly that I was in a dark and watery place, and not, oh, dark and scary, but like the lights are low, like your eyes are relaxed.
Just it's kind of your habitat.
Like a underwater cave kind of. I Yeah, even just saying that, I feel a sense of home. So maybe there's like, I don't know if, I don't think it's Pleiadians, but I think it's like an aquatic planet. And yeah, I just remember being, I feel like I remember being, I don't have any clear memories, you know what I mean? Because memories are
Sure.
weird. But I do feel a connection to that kind of space. And even now today, like this might not be evidence, but my eyes are very sensitive to light. Like even normal regular light is too much for me. I love the dark. Love, always love the dark, will always love the dark. And I think that might have something to do with
Wow, this is fascinating.
it.
You don't get a lot of people where dark, watery cave is like, oh yeah, that's great. That's home. That's where I want to be. That's just really interesting on its own.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's fascinating. Let me see. Just to float along a little bit on here. March 29th, I had Angela from Zen Butterfly. That's a fascinating place, which somehow in almost a year I haven't gotten around to showing up at the store when it's open. Now its hours are somewhat limited, so it's not entirely my fault,
I see.
but
Oh.
it's a fascinating place. She has the only hoodoo shop in Wisconsin, and one of the very few outside the South, and teaches a lot of classes in things you're not going to find a lot of other places,
Okay.
including, well, she is a hoodoo practitioner. Does various kinds of divination, works with the ancestors, just has some, oh, and does plant magic, makes potions out of plants, and absolutely fascinating concepts, been meaning to get there and really check some of the stuff out firsthand, but it was just very, very interesting. So yeah, she would.
That sounds wonderful.
It is. It's man. I mean, she's talking about throwing the bones and to predict the future, or not even necessarily predict the future, but to sometimes almost like tarot tell you about what's going on right now.
Yeah, if you continue on the path.
Yes. Yes, and throwing found objects and interpreting that, and some fascinating material there,
Wow, Zen butterfly.
Yes, Zen Butterfly. It's pretty unique, and I mean that only in a good way. It is absolutely fascinating, and I've got to get over there. So I had her on. I had Oh, I had a one had a solo episode on the Mineral Point Vampire.
Ooh.
This was pointed out to me by Timothy Renner, who's from Pennsylvania, but it happened in Wisconsin back in the 70s, and it was in the newspaper multiple times. There was some guy in Mineral Point, there was an entity in Mineral Point, that was, okay, it's interesting because it all starts with police reports that this cop is out in the middle of the night driving around and decides to drive through the cemetery just to make sure there's no vandals or anybody doing anything they shouldn't. And this is just the middle of the night. Nothing's going on. And he's struck by what, in I say struck by, he sees. He doesn't actually interact with. What he describes as a very tall, like very pale, like dead white, bald man wearing a tuxedo.
Oh.
And he gets out and actually, approaches the guy who takes off running. He runs after him, loses sight of him, and then there's a high wall. And it's like, where did this guy go? It'd be
Oh.
almost impossible for him to vault that wall. There's probably a person that could do it, but it's extremely unlikely.
An Olympic vaultist
It
or something.
would be like an Olympic feat to get over that wall, and the guy's just gone. And
Whoa.
now he makes an official report of this, which, yeah, when you actually write something down and turn it in, and you're a police officer, I mean, you're creating an official document, and you're also opening up yourself up to a ton of ridicule. And but in this case, I guess his reputation was so good that people took it seriously and they did an investigation. This person was seen more than once, and not just by the police, but by civilian
Other
people.
people.
Yes. And it was never explained. Nobody was ever caught. It's just a really weird thing that happened. And
So
yeah.
does he think that it's a vampire because like of the standard appearance?
Because it's dressed like Dracula, yes. Now, I don't know what that was. I don't, do I believe that the dead rise up and walk around and do stuff? No, I'm sorry. That was just a stretch too far for me. I could deal with the aliens, but like your real vampires, like the traditional, where they're actually dead and then they come back. That's a tough one for me.
A stretch for you.
Yes. Now, I did have, and this didn't happen, in 2023, but the response I got back was quite recent. And great, now I'm going to blank on his name, but he's the guy who founded the Vampire Research Institute back in the 70s. It was a he had, I believe, a PhD. I'm not sure in what subject, but I think it was anthropology. And he wanted to scientifically study vampires. And I made one of my earliest episodes about him. And he has been deceased for a couple of decades now. But he did say that he had found several, not a lot, but several actual vampires that were not, they were not living dead. They were kind of a mutation of humans. And they lived for like 300 years, and they had unusual physical abilities. And then I don't know if I've told you this. I may have. I think we were just talking about it. I don't think we talked about it on the podcast. But within the last month, I got feedback from his widow and his daughter saying, thanks for keeping my father's legacy alive. He was really dedicated to what he did, and we're glad somebody still knows about it. So I was really satisfied with it. That was very nice,
That's the sweetest. That's so sweet.
and I'm glad at least they liked it, It was, and yeah, I wanted to keep, it's a fascinating story, and I would have liked to have see where his work could have gone, One second here. A little water. So yeah. Let me see. Would you be interested at some point in the future, Star, of coming back and maybe chopping away at a few more of these?
Absolutely,
Great,
definitely.
great. Let's see here. I was fortunate enough to in April have Joshua Cutchins on as a guest. I've always got to give him credit because he appeared when this show was just beginning and, is well known in the community and, is a presenter like every year and gave me an interview when, really he didn't need to. And he's always been very, very supportive and I've always appreciated
Oh,
that. He's written
that's
about,
wonderful.
oh yeah, he's a really cool guy. He's written like five or six books and they're all like the size of an encyclopedia.
Oh, man.
And okay, they're not all that, but he's written a lot. He's a prolific author and also a full-time musician.
Oh,
Plays tuba in a jazz band. Yeah.
wow. Nice.
Just fascinating guy. Well, you may have met him at Strange Realities.
Maybe I did.
Yeah. Great large fellow, like probably 6'4",
Beard?
solid 300 some pounds.
Did he have a beard?
He has like a beard with no mustache, kind of like Amish
I
style.
think I did meet him.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
pretty, I'm not great with faces, but I think he
No,
had.
I get you. And it was a crowded field there,
Lots going on.
Yes, indeed. But he's always been really great and probably knows more about fairy lore than any other person I know.
Fairy lore?
Yes, oh yes. That's kind of his
Oh,
thing.
okay.
Did a book on fairy abductions, did a book on fairies trying to give people food and the folklore. He's a kind of a folklorist and interesting guy all around. Recently wrote this three volume set on an ecology of souls, which and I'm going to describe like a 1,000-page book in like a sentence or two, but kind of linking the UFO phenomena may be involved with the experience of death and how people transition. And he goes, takes traditions from all over the world of UFOs being connected to the souls of the dead. And it's fascinating material. I have not finished it, but I have started it. And it's really interesting. And he hits things from a different angle than I've ever thought of,
That is
a lot.
very interesting.
Oh yeah,
It makes me
it's
think of that song by Erykah Badu. There's a lyric in there that says the mothership can't save you, so you're gonna get left. It, the,
I've always loved her work, but I'm not,
I know she's amazing. But I don't know, it just makes me think of that for some reason.
It's not see your next lifetime, is it?
It's not that one.
Because that's always been one of my
Mm, so your ass is gonna
songs
get
from her, but
left.
yeah.
I'm forgetting the name, but I know the melody. I don't know. I don't want you to get a copyright strike for me singing on your podcast. Is
I feel of all things that are likely to happen. I don't see Erykah Badu's record label coming after me.
You never know.
But
Kidding.
no, I've always thought she was very talented. And she's into this type of stuff,
She's very spiritual,
Yes.
absolutely. Very open-minded. Beth, yeah, I didn't mean to interject. That just
No, feel free.
that's what that reminds me of.
Yes, it's a really, really interesting concept
On
that.
and on. On and on. That's the name of the
Okay.
song.
Okay, cool. I have to check that out. Let's see. I'm just going to jump around a little bit here because I still haven't really made it past spring. In early June, I did a solo episode on possible UFO disclosure. And the 1980 October Surprise. I tried to link those two things, not because they're directly connected, but because, and now I won't say the opposite of stuff I just said earlier in this very show, but I try to be open-minded and kind of, look at both possibilities. It is often said that there can't be anything to UFO disclosure because nobody could keep that secret. Somebody would talk, it would get out there. And I wanted to make a comparison that back in since 1980, since the Carter versus Reagan election, there's been a rumor that there was what was called the October Surprise, that, and I am old, not that old, but I was a child when these things were happening, but I remember them happening. And Jimmy Carter very likely would have been reelected if the hostages held by Iran had been released. That would have been a major boon to his campaign, and he probably would have gotten re-election. It's speculation, but it's realistic speculation. There's been a rumor since the early 80s that people from the Reagan campaign couldn't communicate directly with the terrorists, but let them know, we'll give you a better deal if you don't let the hostages go too soon. Hold on to them till after the election, and we'll play ball with you in a way that Carter won't. And that, which is a really dirty, underhanded tactic. I mean, you're saying basically keep these Americans held captive a while longer, just so we can get a win in this election. Well, now, last year, 2023, after President Reagan's been dead for quite a few years, and President Carter, I'm not 100%, I think he's still in hospice. But he was not, he's not going to be around much longer. It finally came out. And this,
It was true.
it was true. It was
Oh.
true. It was attested to by this Texas politician who said, yes, who's got to be pretty elderly himself, who said, I didn't, I wanted to make it, I wanted to put it out there before President Carter died that, yeah, we did that.
Wow.
That then Governor of Texas, John Connally, who had been a Democrat, became a Republican, was a big wig in the Reagan campaign. He and this other guy, whose name escapes me because he was a lesser-known politician in Texas, they took a trip to the Middle East and went to every country they could, Egypt and the whole area, Saudi Arabia, wherever they could go in the Middle East, and would allow them to come there and talk to the local leaders and put out the message, let them know, don't let the hostages go too soon. We've got a better deal for you if you
Wow.
make this work out for us.
Whoa.
He held that for over 40 years. So if you can hold on to something like that, you can hold on to a lot of things, And I won't write off that, UFO disclosure could be a real thing. I don't have real evidence at this point. I don't think it's the most likely, but I think it's still on the table as a possible thing.
I hear you.
And just because one's true doesn't mean other interpretations can't also be true.
Very, yeah, it's a
And I
good
think there's
point.
a big umbrella that we call UFOs, but they don't call themselves that,
No.
And they could be several different things, I think there's an element of government trickery. I think that there are truly alien beings that do interact with humans.
Agreed.
And I think that there could be crash ships. I mean, I will not label it impossible. That's kind of where I'm coming from, but I
I
just want,
hear you.
make it as a net.
That's such an interesting story, though.
Oh yes.
Wow.
And it was always said to be a conspiracy, and it was said to be, which no conspiracies happen. I guarantee you conspiracies happen. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But I know, okay. Just little ones, little ones. Nobody got killed, okay. But I mean, if you don't believe in conspiracies, well, what's the opposite of that? To believe that we know everything, the government's open about everything. The government's open about almost nothing. And that's when you make them give you answers. At every level, the default is to secrecy. It's not
It's
to transparency.
sad how true that is.
Even when there isn't anything, they didn't do anything really wrong. There's
Yeah.
just a strong temptation to, no,
Like the
don't.
public doesn't need to know.
Yes. We
We'd
don't have
like
any
to
problems
know.
now. And there's the real default is to secrecy. And this guy, finally at the made the deathbed confession, but that was
Was he on his deathbed?
he, I don't think was. President Carter was. And just the fact he was doing this in 1980 tells me that he was pretty up there in years. But he did come clean on that. And then he reported it in the New York Times. They made it official that that happened. And then it seemed like nobody cared. It seemed like a week later, just nobody was talking about that. Like, get to the bottom of who did what, water under the
Didn't
bridge.
know like legal repercussions.
Because it was so long ago,
Oh, did it fall
and
out the statutes of limitations?
everybody important is dead. So it's kind of, it was a thing that wasn't going to get prosecuted anywhere.
I see.
And it's tough to prove a crime. They didn't sit down with the Ayatollah Khomeini and say, we'll give you this if you do that. They just put the message to people who would get that message where it needed to go. They were, quite stealthy about it. But it did really happen, So it seemed like we spent a lot of time in 2023 talking about UFO disclosure. And, I really did think something might happen, but it so far has not. I would be remiss if I didn't mention what I got a chance to do in June and July. Got to go out and do some actual boots on the ground paranormal investigating.
Oh, snap.
I guess I haven't told you this story before.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so me and Stephen Schneider, recluse, who was what did he present about? Well, he's a multi-time presenter. He, I think, was talking about Stanley Kubrick movies. He travels a good deal, and he came by here and picked me up, and we went to Burlington, Wisconsin. Burlington, Wisconsin, where another guest, who I'm not going to get a chance to give the full attention that she deserves, Mary Sutherland, has written multiple books about this. But Burlington, Wisconsin is said to be portal area, a vortex, where people see a lot of strange things, where they
Similar
have,
to Sedona.
yes, very similar. One of the few places in Wisconsin where people have frequent Bigfoot sightings, UFO sightings, strange creatures, weird, weird stuff. Mary Sutherland gave me the, and she was a later guest later in the year, twice, but she gave me the idea for this of going and hiking the Berlin Vortex. And Stephen and I went and did that. And we didn't have anything overtly weird happen, but you get a vibe there that is quite something. And there were definitely places where people were doing some strange things. And like these weird little rock pile altars. And it was interesting. Oh, also when they said hike a trail, I had this conception of like there's a nature trail not far from where I live, but it's paved, and it's easily 10 yards wide.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, you just stroll along and bicyclists come along and you'll have the whole family out there hiking along. This was not that. This was not that. This was really narrow, really steep. Seemed quite dangerous, to be very
Oh,
honest.
snap. Was it like
And
a dirt path or was there
yes,
concrete?
it
Okay.
was a dirt path, and sometimes it was narrow. I'd say it was as narrow as 18 inches. You're kind
Oh,
of walking one foot in front of the other.
no.
And Stephen is a slim guy who, he talks fast, he walks fast. He's basically like hiking circles around me,
Oh,
realizing that, no, it wouldn't hurt if I hit the cardio a little bit more because out
no.
here. Okay, man. And
Oh,
he's like, well, come
no.
on, let's go. Let's get moving. And it was interesting. It was a fantastic time.
Can you
We
describe the vibe?
it just well, okay. I'll lay it on the line. It's a vortex where the people say there are portals. I was concerned that just because we went in this world, we might come back out somewhere else. And I was like, don't freak yourself out, just be cool, but I did not know what to expect. It circles around, so
Okay.
you go in one way, you come to a turnaround point, you walk back.
I see.
But I did not know 100% that when we came out of there, we would be in the same place that we went in. And everything was fine, everything was normal. Didn't see any other people. And we were there in the daytime. I can't imagine how anybody does this at night because they used to offer night tours. And
That's
that's what the,
scary.
I'm
That'd
not
be
even worried about creatures. I'm worried about I almost fell off the into the gorge a couple times. I had to grab a tree branch and hold on, it seemed like I would not want to do that in the middle of the night with no
yeah,
lights and
with low
stuff.
visibility.
So we did a couple. Burlington is a very interesting city, for especially for its size, which is not large. But we hiked that trail. We did see things that I believe to be altars, that people were doing rituals back there. I have no doubt in my mind, unless somebody's hobby is strangely stacking rocks, I don't know, for no reason in the middle of nowhere, then we went and found the grave of a splinter group of Mormons that really only live in Burlington, and that was pretty fascinating. Found they had a prophet after Joseph Smith named James J. Strang, and that's kind of a low level of obsession of mine that I've done a couple shows about. But we found his grave, and we found the church that still follows his teachings.
Oh.
It was very interesting. It was closed at the time, but it was still just very interesting to see it.
Was it in the woods? Was it
Oh no,
easily
it's in
accessible?
town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not They're a
not
small
cultists.
group, but yeah, no, they're, I would not call them a cult.
Okay.
They're normal people who happen to follow a small and unusual religion, but
Okay.
very interesting. And then we found, what was the thing Stephen wanted to see? I can't recall. A club they have there. Oh, the Burlington Liars Club, where,
Liars?
yes, as in,
LIAR?
yes,
Huh.
they give out an award every year for the person who can make up the most ridiculous story. And it's lighthearted. It's cool. It's a fun thing.
Sounds like my kind of club.
Oh, I'd love to go to one of their jamborees or whatever. It'd be cool. So yeah, they have some interesting stuff that people say, and it's historic too. It's been around a while. It was just a really nice trip. And
Oh, good.
so yeah, I was able to go out and do something on the ground. Then Stephen was back here in July, and man, that guy can drive.
Uh-oh.
I don't really like the freeway. He could just shoot down there
Oh,
and
man.
be having a vape and talking on the phone at the same time and just totally handle that.
Is
And
he from New York?
no, actually, Florida by way of, and then West Virginia.
You know what? Floridians are worse, and I can say that because my family's in Florida.
Yes, so he took me along, and we went well, we did two couple things. Went to Madison and saw Governor's Island, where there were mounds, and we check this out. And we're getting a little low on time, so I'll try to wrap it up, but it was fascinating. There are Native American burial mounds, which Wisconsin has thousands of. Unfortunately, centuries ago, they weren't treated like they had importance. They were treated like they're just in the way of building this road or whatever.
Oh.
They won't all they weren't always protected. Rarely were they protected the way they should have been. And so they're not always marked. We were able to visit the, oh, I'm going to forget the name. It's the main mental hospital, the main mental hospital for the prison system.
Oh.
And the it also treats people who are just walk-in, patients. It's a
Okay.
big mental health complex that's right on the lake. And you have a set of unmarked, but clearly there, Native American burial mounds. And we were able to walk around and take pictures, and you could see that they were in shapes of stuff, like birds and things like that. And they just built Mendota. Mendota is the word I'm looking for. They built Mendota Mental Health just on top of this.
Oh.
And the implications of putting people that are already mentally ill in a facility on top of this burial mound, very interesting. I don't know what might happen there, but it
Right.
was very, you get a vibe there too. Like there's more going on behind the scenes than you're really aware of.
What was the vibe? Did they didn't feel angry, did they?
I didn't get that. Just that there was a lot covered up there. That's the impression I got.
Okay. Lots of
That
secrets.
lots of secrets, because it's still not really acknowledged as being a burial mound. Like there's no, there's no markers or anything that really say that, yes, this is a mound in the shape of an eagle or what have you. It's very much, and it's a very active mental health facility. And then there's the rumor that actually the land was bought up to keep for, to protect the mound, to keep from it being destroyed. So I don't know. It is unsolved, and there's still more to that. So yeah, that. Oh, and
Very
then
interesting.
lest I forget, so it was an action-packed couple days there with
I
him.
believe it.
We also went and looked for the Beast of Bray Road. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
The Beast of Bray Road, which deserves and will get its own episode, is this dogman-like being that was heavily researched and, has a lot of documented sightings that is by Bray Road in well, it's a rural area, but it's not very far from the city of Whitewater. It's not, when I say rural, it's not rural like the forest. It's
Yeah.
rural like farm country.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And we went up and down Bray Road, and just to keep it interesting, our friend, and I've done a show with him too, I need to do more. Clay Van Diver was there, and he had this recording that was, now it was downloaded from the internet, but it is, people vouch for it. It is said to be the howling of a werewolf in Scotland. So, just to see what would happen, is hanging out the window of the van with
Oh my
playing
God.
the werewolf sounds on a boombox. And we didn't get any response from the Beast of Bray Road. And I'm not a psychic person. I don't pick up on much anything. Usually, I'll get a vibe here and there, but that could be psychosomatic too. That could be just in my head. But he is a more sensitive person. And he was kind of freaked out. Like, kind of like, it's watching us type of thing. Like, wow, okay.
He was probably like, "What are these guys doing? It's not gonna fool me."
Exactly. I don't sound like that. Does that sound like me? But it is. It's a very interesting thing that I was glad to be able to be a part of. So let me see. We are unfortunately kind of pushing it on time. It has been really great having you here, Star.
Oh,
And
thank you.
I.
It's been wonderful, like getting a sneak peek at all the things like that you did last year. So
Thank you.
interesting.
Thank you. So yeah, I definitely want to have you back on. We've scratched the surface, but we haven't even gotten to talk about what we're going to do next year.
Oh, right. We'll get to that.
And didn't begin to catch up with everything that happened at Strange Realities. And I Strange Realities was fantastic for me in more ways than one. We've talked about the hypnotic end, and what a intense experience that was. I think I've told our audience about that. Just that, I took part in what was led by you in a group hypnotic
Hypnosis.
experience. Yes. And it was really intense. It was literally life-changing to me, and I can't say enough good things. Also, I ran into a bunch of people that I had only listened to and that were other presenters. And I received an incredible boost of confidence in doing this podcast because you're doing this and I'm looking and my numbers are not, I'm nobody's influencer, okay? I'm mostly just here talking to my friends. That's, you
Not
know.
yet. No one's influencer yet.
But I mean, I was surprised how many people came forward and had actually heard of me and said, well, hey man, why don't you ever ask me to be on your podcast? because I didn't know that you knew who I was. I thought you'd think I was some flake, you know? And,
No.
but no, it was a really, receive, at least, I mean, that was my impression. It was a really welcoming community.
It was super
And
welcoming. They
yeah.
were amazing people, amazing energy. Adam's awesome. Yeah,
Yes,
completely
yes.
fantastic experience.
Absolutely. And since then, I've interviewed several people from there, and those have all been really good interviews and really good episodes. And so I definitely want to see that continue into the coming year.
Do you think you'll do any more boot work?
Oh yes,
Yeah.
almost definitely.
Good.
I'm there's several places I want to go. You know, transportation is somewhat limited, but not that bad. You know, I can get there. And there's
Okay.
some interesting things right around here that, you know, I definitely want to do some on-location shows this year. That's something I haven't done a lot of. Two things I really want to add: on-location shows and some live streams.
Ooh.
Now, live streams always carry an element of risk, but
True. I
but
think you should try it though. I've heard people who switch from like doing YouTube to live streaming or podcasting to live streaming, they always feel more connected to the audience. And it's a good experience for them. So I've heard.
yes. Well, you know, I mean, if I was going to do one, I wouldn't want to do it alone.
Oh, gotcha.
So, you know, consider that an invitation.
Oh, okay. Oh, snap. Oh, the pressure's on.
So now we really got, now you've said it, we really got to do it. So, you know. But yeah, I think it'd be good. I have done them. I've done a couple. And there's always kind of like one, I couldn't get the equipment to work for like 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
And yes, my partner there, whose name escapes me, was like kind of treading water there for about 10 minutes. Like, is he coming or what was
Oh.
it? You know, and I'm trying to get this thing to work, and you know, electronic gremlins like to kick in sometime.
They sure do.
But yes, definitely something I'd love to do in the coming months. So I guess it's about time to wrap things up here. Please tell people whatever you wish to tell them. Promote any product, where they can they find you?
You can find me on YouTube. For now, it's going to be advanced hypnotherapy. That is going to be changing pretty soon. You can also find me on Facebook at advanced hypnotherapy, although I'm much less active there. Yeah, I guess the only thing I don't condone mushrooms, but if you like mushrooms and you like hypnosis, just keep those two things in mind.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Being
Yeah,
as cryptic as possible.
I'm sure nobody got that. In any event, thank you so much for your time. Look forward to having you back on.
You for having me. It's awesome as always.
Folks, this has been The Weird Part. I am your host, Vincent Trewell. Star Vance has been our special guest. Thank you and good night.